Blog Talk Radio.
And hello there. You're now listening live to the Am Yisrael Chai radio show. I'm not listening from archive, I'm listening in archive to the Am Yisrael Chai radio show. This is the Am Yisrael Chai radio show with your host, Benjamin Solomon, giving you the truth and nothing but the truth. I have an interesting show today. It's about radical Islam. I have a provocative title. But nevertheless, I'm going to make a disclaimer out there. This show is not meant to attack Muslim people. This show is not even meant to attack practicing Muslim people. This show is not meant to say that all practicing Muslims are terrorists, because that statement is not true. But this statement, I mean, even though it's a controversial title here, This show, though it's controversial, it's meant to talk about a specific ideology that I think has taken too much control of the religion, Because I think the whole thing is, I'm sure there are plenty of Muslims, peaceful Muslims who don't support terrorism. And there are plenty of practicing Muslims who don't support terrorism. But this show is not about them. While there are Muslims who practice Islam peacefully, this show is going to, at the same time, you look at like what's going on. And look at how deadly radical Islam is. And you look at how loud radical Islam is. The problem is that there are Muslims who do courageously speak out against radical Islam, and they should be applauded for it, as I said. But at the same time, even though there are some Muslims who do courageously speak out against radical Islam, we see that radical Islam is louder than the voice of the peaceful Muslims. I mean, you don't really see any. I mean, you see like the demonstrations against America and against Israel tend to be much louder in coming from the Muslim world than the demonstrations against ISIS or the demonstrations against Hamas, or the demonstrations against Al-Qaeda, or the demonstrations against radical Islam generally. I mean, that's the problem. And we see that too many peaceful Muslims are silent, largely because of fear. And while there are some Muslims who courageously speak out against radical Islam, as I said, that voice is not nearly as loud as the voice of radical Islam. I mean, you look at almost every Muslim country as of now, you see women and non-Muslims getting treated as worse than cattle. I mean, look at the constant misogyny that is widespread within the Muslim world. Look at the way women have been treated for a long time. Women get stoned for looking at men who are not their husbands. You look at Iran, for instance, where you see these IRGC, Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps thugs, you know, raping women who are about to be executed. Why? So then those women don't die as virgins, and then these radical Muslims can feel that it's more guaranteed in their view that those women will end up going to hell. I mean, the problem is, you see, with radical Islam, you see rape victims get executed for adultery. We see the rape victims are the ones who get blamed and get executed for adultery. I mean, that's radical Islam for you. The problem is, we have too much of this moral relativism where you have it's your values versus their values. Now it's our idea of God versus their idea of God. No, let me be clear. The Jewish and Christian ideas of God is way more morally superior than the radical Muslim idea of God. because the difference is, you know, Judaism and Christianity, one of the fundamental principles of the Torah, one of the fundamental principles articulated in the Torah, Shebech Tav, the written Torah, is that it's articulated in the written Torah, in the first book of the written Torah, Sefer Bereishit, the book of Genesis. And the I mean, it's a very important principle articulated in Sefer Bereishit, which specifically states that Hashem, God, created human beings, Betzalam Elohim, in God's image. By the way, the channel is now open, so if you're listening live to me right now on your computer from the episode page, if you want to be in a chat, you have to do one simple thing, reload the page. But the Torah has a very important concept that the human being was created Betzalam Elohim in God's image. And so you see Judaism, and so you see that's the basic concept of Torah, and Christianity shares that view. So you see Judaism and Christianity, the difference is those two religions value human life, and their concept of God values human life. Radical Islam is different. You see, with radical Islam, these terrorists and these radical Islamic imams send their children dressed in bomb belts to murder innocent people in the name of Allah. These radical Muslims brag that they value death the way their enemies value life. For instance, you look at what Hamas does. You look at what Hezbollah does. Look at what these radical Muslim terrorists do. Where do they put their terrorist infrastructure? In civilian areas. You see, they claim to care so much about Muslim lives, yet they're the ones endangering Muslims the most. They hide in civilian areas. You look at ISIS. ISIS is killing Muslims left and right. Yet why don't you see, for instance, you know, I mean, all these radical Muslim hypocrites, like all these protesters who love to say death to America and death to Israel, you don't see them saying death to ISIS. No, 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 no. You see, we get the blame because supposedly they don't like America killing Muslims. Well, they're the ones killing Muslims. They're the ones, you know, killing their own people. Look at ISIS. ISIS has been active in killing Muslims in Iraq and in Syria. Look at the Gaza Strip. It's Hamas that kills Muslims in the Gaza Strip. It's Hamas that hides in civilian areas during their wars of terrorist aggression against Israel. And yet you see with Israel, here's the irony here. With Israel, you see the policy and authority has actually brought Israel to the International Criminal Court, and Hamas has joined in doing that. And the International Criminal Court decided that they'll investigate all these bogus claims of Israeli war crimes. And Hamas and the Palestinian Authority are both applauding the decision of the ICC, the International Criminal Court, to do that. You know, it's just like if Nazi Germany took Great Britain to the International Criminal Court. Let's be honest. Israel is not guilty of war crimes. It's never a war crime to defend your own country. Israel's the only country in history that has bent over backwards to try to avoid killing civilians. Israel sent countless leaflets, countless telephone calls to Gaza. All the time when Israel was bombing terrorists in Gaza, Israel always sent countless leaflets and countless telephone calls warning civilians in Gaza about upcoming attacks. It's a mess that hides in the civilian areas. It's a mess that butchers the people in Gaza. Many times just by saying, oh, they're an Israeli collaborator. It's a mess that's doing that. I mean, you look at like fat, and you know, look at what Hamas does to like fat, to like the Fatah people in Gaza. It's nothing but brutality. But they'll join forces when it comes to hating Israel. Now, also another thing is, you see these same politically correct themes now with the recent bombing of the newspaper in France. We get told by the far left, we're in their country, so it just blow back for our policy. We'll blow off gas in Iraq. First of all, let's be clear, 9/11 happened before America went into either Afghanistan or Iraq. And last time I checked, France was not part of the U.S.-led collision in the war in Iraq. But you see these Muslim terrorists bomb a newspaper because they have a cartoon of Muhammad, and they thusly portraying Muhammad in a way that they find offensive. And look, let me be clear. Look, every religion in the modern world, pretty much every religion has been made fun of. Judaism has been made fun of. Christianity has been made fun of. Every religion in this modern world has been made fun of. And sometimes religious people get offended and religious people get mad. But you don't see religious people from other religions bombing people or doing any of that. Why is it that we only see the followers of the quote-unquote religion of peace engaging in this type of behavior? And yet, you know, while that's happening, while you see when it's like whenever Islam is made fun of or they portray Muhammad in a way that Muslims find offensive, how come only then do we see violence? We don't see violence when Christianity is made fun of or when Judaism is made fun of or when any other religion is made fun of. And yet, while you see that happening, while you see violence only with Islam being made fun of or a cartoon of Muhammad or whatever, we see that our politicians also don't say Buddhism is a religion of peace, Judaism is a religion of peace, Christianity is a religion of peace. You only say that about Islam. Why? And the thing of the matter is, you know, there's this attempt, as I said, to try to appease the radical Muslims. And this bullying did not merely begin in Paris when they bombed a French newspaper and also took hostages in the kosher deli and murdered innocent people there as well. This did not begin with the bombing of the newspaper in France. This has been going on for a while. You look at Israel, for instance, and you see in the Temple Mount, you see it's the same type of bullying, for instance. I mean, France has only got a little taste of the type of bullying Israel dealt with, and the ironic part is the French Parliament has actually decided to be in favor of having this Palestinian state, but France got a taste of what this Palestinian state would be like. Terrorists. That's what this Palestinian state would be, a terrorist entity. I mean, the history has clearly shown that. You see that the Palestinians claim that, that bringing Israel to the International Criminal Court is their only option because they tried everything else and nothing works. No, it's because the Palestinians have not given anything. The Palestinians have not shown that their entity will be a peaceful entity. In fact, they showed the exact opposite. You see, Israel is desperate for peace, and the Palestinians know that Israel is desperate for peace and that Israel is desperate to get the heck out of the territories and to reach a peace deal. And the Palestinians are taking advantage of this. I mean, you see, the Palestinians in the world think they can bully Israel into a corner by flexing their muscles. But they don't understand that Hashem God sees things differently, and that Hashem God will redeem Israel and will redeem the world, and that godly people will be redeemed, and that the whole world will be redeemed. Perhaps for another area of discussion. You see, the same thing with Israel, for instance. And when you look at the Temple Mount situation, where the Temple Mount, which is the holiest site for Jews, and yet you see whenever Jews pray in the Temple Mount away from the Muslims, they know it's enough to get these radical Muslims to riot. You know these imams, these radical Islamic imams on the Temple Mount and the Muslim authorities on the Temple Mount, In addition to desecrating, destroying, and mistreating Jewish artifacts, in addition to denying that there was a Jewish presence there, and in addition to their false claims that it was really a mosque that stood there, never mind that the second Beit HaMikdash, the second temple, the second Jewish temple, was destroyed in 70 CE, centuries before Islam was founded as a religion. Centuries before that. Never mind all those facts. But we see that these radical Muslim imams and the Muslim authorities there, they know it enough to say the magic words, Israel is destroying Al-Aqsa, and then they'll get a bunch of these dumb Muslim males to come and riot. And these dumbasses, pardon my language, who riot in the Temple Mount, they think they're saving Al-Aqsa, but here's the irony. They treat the Al-Aqsa Mosque as if it's a fortress. I mean, never mind also that the Muslim authorities are the ones who mistreat and neglect the Al-Aqsa Mosque there. I mean, never mind that. They don't even take care of their own holy sites, because right now Islam, in their eyes, has been reduced to nothing more than going out there, strapping a bomb on yourself, and killing infidels. And that's the issue here. That's the issue here. And people don't understand that. People don't understand that's an ideology that declared war on us. First, oh, it's just Al-Qaeda. No, holy crap, we see ISIS is killing people. They're all killing people. Not all Muslims, but the radical Muslims. They're all killing people. I mean, wake up. During the Cold War, there was no, oh, well, we're just after the communist North Koreans. Oh, those Vietnamese are doing bad stuff. Oh, Mao's killing millions of people. No, we understood that that the communists, led by the Soviets, wanted world domination for communism, which they called world revolution. And we, you know, did not want communism to spread. We understood that we were at war. We had a Cold War with an ideology, a totalitarian ideology, that basically wanted world conquest. And now you see a religious fanatic ideology that's even more deadly than communism. And the problem is, we see our leaders, Obama and our leaders, don't understand that we're at war with the ideology. It's not only Al-Qaeda. It's not only ISIS. It's the whole ideology. You see, ISIS wants to get more followers, and they want to be in the forefront of jihad. And so they go around saying, oh, everybody else is too moderate. Then you have Al-Qaeda wanting to come up and kill, and Al-Qaeda will kill people and try to catch up. And you see Iran, of course, you know, wants to be in control of jihad. I mean, that's what it's really all about. I mean, do you really think, for instance, that, like, once ISIS is defeated, we'll be friends with Iran? Iran's going to stop being a threat? Of course not. That's ridiculous. So you see this bullying going on in the Temple Mount. You see Jews getting arrested for wanting to pray at their holiest site. And the Shin Bet, Israel Secret Service, and you see the Israeli government is worried about violence in the Temple Mount area. And the Muslim authorities and the Palestinians know that, and that's why they riot there, because they know they can continue to bully Israel and they'll have the world supporting them, largely because of anti-Semitism. I mean, that's what's going on right now. And we see largely because also there's this radical Islam denial. You see, the problem is, while radical Muslims publicly behead people in front of cameras and in public squares and commit all sorts of atrocities around the world, you see, too many of these far-leftist liberals and too many people have their head in the sand pretending that none of this is going on. And whenever radical Muslims commit their atrocities, everybody gets to blame but the perpetrators. And everything gets to blame but the perpetrators. Israel gets to blame. America gets to blame. The West gets to blame. People who draw Muhammad get to blame. And I mean, as I said, that's for people who draw Muhammad. Look, as I said, there are also people who portray Jesus in a way Christianity finds offensive. You know, one Friday night, when my family went to a play that made fun of Catholics. Of course, I did not go to that play because it was Shabbat, and since I'm Shomer Shabbat, I would not travel on Shabbat, and I would not go to a play on Shabbat. But nevertheless, I had some family members who are secular went to a play on Friday night that made fun of Catholics. And from what I've heard, yeah, there were people putting the middle finger up, people screaming, you know, some ruckus in the audience, but nobody bombed anything. There was nobody bombing anything. And it's sad with this age of radical Islam and the age of political correctness run amok. It's sad that basically you have to be proud of the fact that nobody resorted to any bombing. I mean that should just be that should just be, you know, that should just be the expectation, not something to not something that's praiseworthy for it, you know. But it just goes to show, only radical Muslims react violently when they get offended. And you see, the left wants to act like offending people who they see as bad to offend is the worst thing in the world. Now offending radical Muslims is the worst thing in the world. It's ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous. Every religion has been made fun of. You don't see followers of the other religions when they get offended. I mean, they may make a big stink on the internet. They may, you know, they may get angry or whatnot. But they never resort to violence. As I said, only with Islam do they resort to violence. And now liberals show understanding to these perpetrators. Because, oh, they got their poor feelings hurt. Well, you know what? I mean, many of these Muslim men are a bunch of sissies, I'm sorry to say. Many of these Muslim men are a bunch of misogynist sissies. Not all of them, but many of them. Namely the ones who riot. Not all of them, but namely the ones who riot are a bunch of sissies and no doubt a bunch of misogynists. I mean, look at the way they look down at women. Look at the way they mistreat women. I mean, it's like they still live like in the age of barbarism, pretty much. I mean, they basically As I said, these radical Muslim males who riot and who commit terrorist attacks are really a bunch of whiny sissies. And I think they're a bunch of misogynists as well. Because there's no doubt they definitely look down on women. And many of them believe, for instance, that a rape victim should be stoned for adultery and stuff. I mean, you look at like what's happening now. You see many Islamists stoning rape victims for adultery. It's ridiculous. Women have just been so dehumanized in the Muslim world. It's just so disgusting. You see, the far left was worried about some false Republican war against women that was just merely there to get Obama reelected. And ironically, during that same period, when Mohamed Morsi and the Salafists were in power, Egypt was coming out with all sorts of misogynist legislation. But Obama and the liberal media were saying, oh, Egypt's moving more towards democracy, and we were supporting Mohamed Morsi and giving him all these F-16s. You know, and all the liberal Egyptians who were opposed to radical Islam were mad at us because we're actually quite angry at the U.S., for giving support to Mohamed Morsi. And they went around saying, it wasn't merely right-wing Tea Partiers, but they also went around saying that Obama is a Muslim Brotherhood stooge. And when you look at his foreign policy, it's, you know, I mean, that's the conclusion one comes to. It's just so favorable to the Muslim Brotherhood in many ways. The real war against women comes from conservative Republicans. The real war against women comes from misogynist radical Muslims, many of whom are a bunch of sissy men who basically can't take being offended. You know, I mean, part of being alive is being offended. I've been offended, you've been offended, but none of us resort to violence because we're offended. I've heard stuff and seen stuff said that horrifies me. But do I go around committing violence? Do I go around bombing people? Do I go around rioting or killing innocent people? The answer, do you want to know the simple answer? It starts with an N, ends with an O, a two-letter word. No! I'm so sick and tired of all these excuses being made for radical Muslims. I don't care what type of cartoons were in that newspaper. I don't care! It doesn't affect my life one iota. I mean, it's okay to be offended at certain cartoons. It's okay to say, you know what, I don't like these cartoons. And heck, it's even okay to boycott the newspaper for publishing cartoons you find offensive. But it's not okay to resort to violent bombings. It's really that simple. Problem is, as I said, the far leftists love to say how they're pro-women and they're such feminists and stuff. Not that they love to portray themselves as like, oh, they're pro-women and stuff like that. I mean, never mind that you have Bill Clinton. I mean, never mind that these people have guys like Bill Clinton who basically went around chasing women. I mean, Bill Clinton was such a skirt chaser. You know, like Monica Lewinsky and stuff like that. Never mind also that there's also Anthony Weiner who sent pictures of his private parts to girls to women as well. I mean, never mind the Democrats having crazy people like that. But also, you see, the irony is when it comes to radical Islamic aggression against women, when it comes to women being stoned for looking at men who are not their husbands, for instance, we get told, oh, you can't criticize them because, oh, that's their way of life. It's your values versus their values, and there's no moral code to live by. It's your values versus their values. It's just so ridiculous. It's just utter insanity. And even with this radical Muslim aggression going on, as I said, you don't see our politicians saying Buddhism is a religion of peace. And the irony is, you don't see Buddhists committing bombings. I mean, you see, Buddhism really is, I mean, Buddhists really are peaceful. You don't see Buddhists committing bombings around the world or killing people left and right. But when it comes to Islam, you see that with radical Islam, and our politicians say again and again, Islam is a religion of peace over and over and over and over and over. You see, only with Islam do we see such a big religious fanatical death cult that's killing people left and right. And only with Islam do we see politicians repeating again and again and again about it being a religion of peace. But the problem is people are going to ask questions. People are going to be like, why do they say that so commonly about Islam? Why do we see that, like, within Islam, there's, like, this fanatical death cult? Why do we see all over the Muslim world non-Muslims and women get persecuted and discriminated against? Why do we see women getting stoned? Why in Saudi Arabia women can't drive? You know, people are bound to ask these questions. And the conclusion is not going to be Islam is a religion of peace. It's about time that the West, America and the West, it's about time that they encourage the peaceful Muslims to take their religion back. And it's about time also that we actually tell Muslims, rather than repeating that Islam is a religion of peace, we call on Muslims to prove that Islam is a religion of peace, for one thing, by taking an act against radical Muslims. And maybe then there will be peace. I mean, why not, live by some more peaceful principle? I mean, why don't Muslims, rather than, instead of sending their kids to be, like, dressed in bomb belts, I'm not saying every Muslim does this, but, like, you know, these radical Muslim imams and all these leaders who send who send Muslim kids over in bomb belts to blow up innocent people, instead of doing that, and instead of saying, go kill infidels and you'll go to heaven for killing infidels on behalf of Allah, instead of promoting that evil, destructive message, why don't they instead focus on the principles of the religion that actually promotes peace? You know, instead live a pious life and live peacefully with everybody else. That simple. Really that simple. I've had it also with these arguments. Oh, well, you know, Christianity did the same thing like 500 years ago. Look at like what like the English king in like 1100 whatever did and all that other stuff. No. Screw what happened 500 years ago. You go back in history, look at Genghis Khan massacring people too. Look at what Genghis Khan did massacring people, you know? I mean, no. Just because people did bad stuff in history doesn't give radical Muslims the license to publicly behead people in such a systematic manner. It doesn't give them the license to do that. And that's the point, and that's the crucial point that needs to be made, that needs to be said. It's not merely a few group of radicals who commit violence, as I said. Look at these Muslim countries. Look at the imams telling people to go kill infidels, to go on behalf of Allah. You look at, like, as I said, non-Muslims and women get discriminated against constantly. Look at that going on. Look at Egypt, for instance. The Coptic Christians in Egypt have been persecuted for a long time. And many of the Coptic Christians who leave Egypt, as I said in the description, you don't see them repeating it again and again, Islam is a religion of peace. But you see our politicians doing that. I mean, look, the problem also is, I mean, in America, maybe like in the Midwest somewhere from some church nobody has ever heard of, you'll see some pastor basically making some crazy comments about homosexuals, like, or about this or about that, you know, that's going to stir up controversy. But you don't see people reacting violently, you know. I mean, it's just some pastor like in some church nobody heard about in the Midwest, maybe saying something, you know, that may be inflammatory. But again, as I said, nobody reacts. But again, nobody would actually act based on those inflammatory remarks. I mean, nobody would act. I mean, no Christian would act violently because of those inflammatory remarks. In fact, most people would condemn those remarks. But you see, in the Muslim world, this radical Islamic hate propaganda is widespread. This hate of non-Muslims and this hatred in the Muslim world is just widespread. And as I said, women are basically, I mean, women are not even seen as human beings over in the Muslim world. Specifically when you have, like, the regime in Iran, basically they believe, I mean, they basically believe that rape victims will go to hell. And that's why, as I said, they'll rape women who are about to be executed so that they don't die as virgins. Because in Iran, there is a law that says that virgins cannot be executed. And well, and if there is a girl a virgin who is about to be executed. How would they go about executing her? Basically, they'd rape her, and then they can be, and then they can feel safe that, oh, that their sick, demented ideology assures them, basically, that, oh, those women will supposedly go to hell. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Why would those women go to hell, but like these IRGC people and then those other sick regime thugs and those other sick Iranian regime thugs who rape women not go to hell? I mean, it just makes zero sense. I mean, it just goes to show what a death cult this Nazi-like ideology is. The real war against women. The real war against women is by radical followers of the so-called religion of peace, not by any Republican, not by any conservative Republican. Also, another thing about, like, another example of the leftist hypocrisy, for instance, is when you have many of these female volunteers who are, like, from the ISM, the International Solidarity Movement, and these other anti-Israel pro-terrorist groups, and these other anti-Israel terrorist front groups, basically, they see them, you know, going to Israel and the territories, basically to shield terrorists and to cause problems in the name of human rights and stuff like that. Many times those women get raped by many of the Palestinian Arab men. And then those women get told, don't report the fact that you were raped. Don't report the fact that you were raped. Just, you know, just keep it a secret because if it gets out there, then, oh, the struggle against the quote-unquote occupation may look bad. You see, leftist so-called feminists claim they care so much about women, telling rape victims to keep quiet. That's the real way against women. We're crying out loud. I mean, wake the fuck up! Pardon my language. Wake up! It's driving me insane. You know, I remember reading also about this. There was a case, actually, like, because also in the European countries, many of these radical Muslim immigrants, not all Muslim immigrants, but namely the Muslim immigrants who do hold radical Muslim views, many of them, for instance, rape many of the women in the European countries. And, of course, again, the leftist establishment there, you know, they treat the Muslim rapists with kid gloves, again. And that's where you see, like, those repulsive pro-rape arguments, such as, oh, the woman was underdressed and brought upon themselves, you know. I mean, that's where you see those disgusting arguments coming from. Most people in the West are really disgusted by those arguments. But you see, those arguments tend to be made by rapists basically to try to place the blame off themselves onto the victim. It's a classic example of victim blaming. We see, like, it's from the Muslim world where, like, you see those type, like, particularly with women who are not wearing the hijab or the niqab or who are not covering their face or only showing their eyes or however, you know, like, you particularly, like women who are not dressed that way, particularly, you see that excuse is made by the radical Muslim rapist. And so one time in one of these European countries, you know, like, I think a radical Muslim male had sex with a 13-year-old, and then he said, oh, I didn't know what the laws in the country were and stuff like that. And then, you know, they treated him with kid gloves because they did not want to seem too Islamophobic. I mean, you see, but I thought it was Republicans who were supposedly pro-rape, and all these leftists are so caring about women, they're so anti-rape. Well, they're anti-rape unless radical Muslim misogynist men are doing the raping. Then, keep quiet about it because heaven forbid these people from the religion of peace look bad. I mean, heaven forbid that happens. And heaven forbid, these radical Muslims could get offended. Because, these radical Muslims, they attack people. It's never their fault. It's always somebody else's fault or something, or it's always something else. It's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. I mean, radical Islam. Radical Islam is making Islam look bad. Because when you see people, in the name of the religion, when they constantly quote the text of their religion to justify their violent actions, or they carry guns in their religious and their holy books and pictures, and they publicly behead people in the name of the religion, they do it in the name of their religion, and in the name of the religious holy war that they declared against everybody else, you know, they're the ones who are making their religion look bad with their actions, because then they, who are representing their religion, who seemingly represent their religion, basically, you know, I mean, they're portraying their religion like that. And so you see, it's radical Muslims who are making Islam look bad with their public beheadings, and these radical Muslims, they commit atrocities all over the world in the name of the religion, and in the name of a holy war that they declared against everybody else. You see, like, they publicly behead people in front of television cameras or in public squares, and they chant Allah Akbar, and they quote Muslim texts to support their, whether out of context is or not is beyond the scope of what I'm talking about. But they quote Muslim holy texts to justify their actions. And, you know, when they do it in the name of their religion, they, who seemingly represent their religion, of course not every Muslim agrees with those actions, but they, who seemingly represent their religion, in the eyes of many uninformed Westerners or many people who don't really know much about Islam or whatever, you know, I mean, they're the ones making their religion look bad. And when you have, and politicians just wanting to cover it up by saying Islam is a religion of peace over and over again, it's not actually going to, if anything, I mean, that's not actually going to help to get rid of anti-Muslim feeling or any of that, or it's not going to assure anybody who says Islam is not a religion of peace. It's about time Muslims show that their religion is a religion of peace by condemning the radicals instead of always protesting against America and against Israel. Instead, take action against ISIS, and take action against Al-Qaeda, and take action against Hamas, and take action against Hezbollah, and take action against the crazy regime in Iran. Thing. I mean, when you have, like, these Muslim countries are backward, you know, then it becomes, well, as I said, I mean, radical Islam is in control of the government of Iran, for instance. You see, the Iranian regime right now is developing nuclear weapons as part of this global jihad against infidels. And then terrorist groups like Hezbollah will be able to have access to those nuclear weapons, which is very dangerous. And so that's the problem. We're defending ourselves against, I mean, America and the West are defending themselves against a death cult that declared war on us. They declared war on us, and America and the West are defending their civilization. It's really that simple. I mean, these attempts to not offend the radical Muslims, I mean, it's futile. If we keep going down that road, as I said plenty of times before, if America and the West keep on going down that road of trying not to offend the radical Muslims, and particularly to try not to offend these misogynist radical Muslim males in particular, I mean, if we keep going down that road, then soon we're going to be seeing women being forced to wear the hijab and the niqab, even in hot summer weather, where they will be boiling hot. I mean, that's the road we're going to be going down. You know, it's basically this is political correctness run amok, and it's destructive that like we are trying to we're trying so hard not to offend our enemy. Many times at the expense of freedom of speech. You know, really, like let's talk about Israel, for example. Like the Temple Mount situation, where basically many times only Muslims are allowed on the Temple Mount. They talk about Israel desecrating Al-Aqsa and all that other nonsense. Many times only Muslims are allowed on the Temple Mount. I mean, if anything, Israel's policies towards the Temple Mount has been more so pro-Muslim and more so anti-non-Muslim. Israel has been the only country in the region to actually take care of the holy sites of every religion. I mean, you look at, like, even after the Six-Day War, when the IDF general said, quote, the Temple Mount was in our hands, end quote, when talking about when the IDF captured East Jerusalem in their war of self-defense in the 1967 Six-Day War, turned out the Temple Mount was not exactly in Israeli hands. Because, well, for one thing, the Israelis the Jordanians continued to appoint these Muslim authorities over the Al-Aqsa Mosque until the period of Oslo, and that job was transferred over to the Palestinian Authority. You see the same thing. Jewish artifacts being desecrated, destroyed, and mistreated with impunity. With impunity. And you don't see Jews over there. I mean, Jews are the ones being discriminated. Jews are the ones being discriminated against when it comes to issues surrounding the Temple Mount. But you don't see Jews going around rioting like crazy. Why is that? I mean, among Jews and Christians, you'll see some fringe people who do stupid stuff. But not on the same scale as the radical Muslims. Thing is, as I said, it's Jews who are being discriminated against when it comes to the Temple Mount. Because even when they say, like, Jews can come worship away from the Muslims during certain times, it still gets the radical Muslims to riot. It's like anything Israel does it's like Israel has to get their approval or else they're going to say Israel's destroying Al-Aqsa and get these stupid men out there to go and riot like crazy. And while those stupid rioting idiots think they're defending Al-Aqsa, they're going to be hiding in the Al-Aqsa Mosque, basically like throwing stones from there and throwing Molotov cocktails from there, coming in to throw the Molotov cocktails and then running back in there. While these stupid idiots think they're defending the Al-Aqsa Mosque, in reality, they're actually treating the Al-Aqsa Mosque as a fortress for their violent actions. I mean, it goes to show how these radical Muslim rioters, I mean, these radical Muslim men who riot, they're so stupid. I mean, they're just so stupid. They're stupid, they're sissies, they're girly men, and I think also they're misogynist as well. But as I said, you see again, Jews are the ones being arrested, while Israel wants to be too nice to the Muslims there. to the rioting Muslims there. I mean, I think it's about time that Israel, I think, needs to impose stiffer penalties on the radical Muslims who riot. Israel needs to impose stiffer penalties on the rioters there. For one thing, I think that Israel should use like tear gas or any weapon that'll make them be unconscious and put them in jail. Or, you know, if Israel needs to use live fire against these rioters, then so be it. Israel should not be afraid to use live fire. I mean, I agree. Israel should provide security, and security is what Israel wants. But there's two options. There's the option that's unpopular with the world, or there's the wimpy option of let's try not to offend these people. Now, I prefer the former. I don't care what a bunch of these leftists say, and heck, I don't even care what these liberal Jews in America say. That's the problem. You see, like, liberal Jews in America are like, they want to make sure that, the other liberals aren't offended, and make sure that, like, oh, when Israel defends itself, that their liberal sensibilities are not offended. You know, it's the same thing. I mean, you see, like particularly with non-Orthodox Judaism, which is largely left-wing, you hear a lot of the whole, oh, this seems troubling. This troubles some people. Some people find this troubling. Like that type of language, like when it comes to the practice of Judaism, or when it comes to Torah, anytime they don't like anything that the Torah says or that Judaism teaches, they'll say, oh, we find this troubling. Some people find this troubling. Some people find this idea troubling, like trusting in God morals. Some people find this troubling. You know? I mean, many liberal non-Orthodox Jews, they get more offended over having like a machitza divider in an Orthodox service than they do when it comes to real misogyny coming from radical Muslims. I mean, they love to have women in the wall going over there to stir things up, and yet they want to appease the radical Muslims whenever it comes to whenever it comes to which it's around the Temple Mount, they want to appease the radical Muslims for security, because if Israel does what she needs to do to provide security that does not involve appeasing the radical Muslims, then basically they'll find that troubling. But anyway, I'm in archives, so. But anyways, I mean, let's be honest. Liberal Jews in America are just so wrong about everything. And it's true. I mean, they live in their own world where, like, liberalism is now the answer to everything. They think, I mean, left-wing, non-Orthodox Jews in America think that the whole Torah is just support any left-wing cause out there. That's what they think, the whole heart of it, support any left-wing cause out there. You know, any real mitzvah from the Torah is disposable. It's really just about supporting any left-wing cause out there because that's being more compassionate and stuff. It's ridiculous. I mean, with Israel, for instance, with like specifically many Jewish babies in Israel get aborted, but they don't want to give the death penalty to terrorists, which is a whole other area of discussion. It's just, I mean, this left-wing liberalism is just bringing nothing but destruction to the Jewish community, spiritual destruction, and just destruction, and just utter stupidity, Left-wing non-Orthodox Judaism, in addition to being so meaningless, in addition to just squeezing at the spirituality, I mean, it's just so meaningless. But it's just so, in addition, it just brings stupidity. The thing I think about the Temple Mount is, to get out of my time, the thing I think about the Temple Mount is Israel should not be afraid to use live fire against these rioters. You know, just use any force necessary. I'm not saying they always use maximum force, but use any force necessary to neutralize these rioters. Don't be afraid to use live fire if Israel has to, but preferably Israel should use maybe gas to make them unconscious or use a stun grenade or something that can break their legs and make it harder for them to run back. And then Israel can, hopefully either they fall unconscious temporarily, so then Israel can arrest them for rioting, or maybe Israel can use a weapon to make them become unconscious, like for a couple hours, and so that Israel can make mass arrests. Or if Israel has to use live fire, then so be it. But that's what Israel should do. Israel should have a no-tolerance policy for violence in the Temple Mount and stick by that policy. And if the liberal media is going to resort to this fear-mongering about the right wing in Israel run amok, then let the liberal media do it. And I don't care if American Jews, particularly the non-Orthodox ones, find it troubling. I don't care. You got to do what needs to be done. You can't always just give everybody hot cocoa and stuff. I mean, we're dealing with evil. When you deal with evil, you got to defeat evil. And sometimes you got to use extreme methods. I mean, that's the world we live in. It's the world we live in. And that's what I have to say. But that's the whole problem. Stop appeasing the radical Muslims. Fight back for our civilization. Defeat the radical Muslims. Have a no-tolerance policy for them. And if they want to cry bigotry, racism, or Islamophobia, I'd say ignore them. Ignore them. Tell them tough luck. It's about time that Muslims take an active stance against radical Islam instead of demonstrating against America or against Israel. I mean, that's another thing. But that's what I have to say, and with that, we're out.